How big of a problem is it if you have $93 billion and you're getting divorced?
Right.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. This divorce attorney has 132,000 followers on TikTok.
Wow.
So she's got something going on here. And we love having her on the show, divorce attorney Katie K. Leonard. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. $93 billion. So the Google co-founder, Sergey Brin, filing for a divorce, $93 billion. Where do you even begin?
You say, is there a prenup?
That's a good first question.
I hope there is a prenup, and I think that there probably is. I was looking at that when the articles came out, and there was obviously speculation because he's been married before. He was married to the 123andMe co-founder, and they had a prenuptial agreement. So I hope that there is, because that at least reduces the amount of things that have to be valued, including, you know, their charitable organizations, their various entrepreneurial efforts that they've had. So there's quite a bit that's going to need to be unpacked for them with that kind of money involved.
Let's just say,
so I noticed,
I was going to say, if there's no prenup, both parties are asked to list all of their assets.
Okay.
I just don't know. How do you do, you know, the judge can't be too strict on this one, because you're going to forget stuff.
I would
when
think.
It's $93 billion,
I would
you
hope,
don't know everything you own.
I mean, I would say pick your top five. Your top five.
I looked up who was representing them, and they both have a team of attorneys. I think they both, the wife has three different law firms, and the husband has two. So with that kind of staff and that kind of money, basically, I would think that, you know, when just an average person gets divorced, we have to list our bank accounts and our retirement accounts, and we pretty much know what those are. There's going to be significant discovery. It's a short-term marriage. So,
how long were they married?
I think it was like 7 years. It wasn't a long time.
Okay.
So it's not going to be anything significant, but they are going to have to produce records and things like that. And so I would think that where they'll start is trying to list what they can think of. And then they'll probably both have forensic accountants working with them. Wow. And they'll have to, you know, go through at least, I would think at least 3 to 4 years of records and, you know, pull transactions and tracing and make sure they've got all of the accounts listed. And there they can at least get on paper, here's what we've got to start with. So it's going to be nasty for sure.
You think it'll be nasty?
I mean, just as far as the work that's involved.
Yeah. It's going to take forever.
That's some bill.
I would just say, give me $10 billion and I'll walk away. $10 billion and walk away. Done.
Huh. I mean,
That's fair.
She has started her own company. So I was kind of impressed looking at this guy's list of wives. You know, if you guys look at my videos, I'm really tough on stay-at-home moms because of how hard they get it in a divorce. So I'm always like, please make sure you're doing something. It's interesting. Both of his wives were both founders of companies, co-founders of companies.
Why do stay-at-home moms get it bad or the worst?
It's painful to watch because they're so dependent. And in many states, you know, we have support caps here pretty much in the Southeast. I know the Northeast is very different, but there's just no possible way that you can, you know, really get what you need unless you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars.
Couldn't you make a case that a stay-at-home mom needs more than a mom that's working because she just doesn't have a career? She gave up her career for the family.
You know, of course you can make that case. The problem is she's just never going to get 100% of what she needs. She's going to take a pay cut. And a lot of times it's a big one. Uh-huh. And if she is involved in any kind of fault in my state, it means that she would not be entitled to support.
So in other words, if she was caught cheating.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're not entitled to spousal support in my state. I don't know if that's the same everywhere. So, anyway, so luckily for this woman, you know, she's going to have her own resources, and there's so much money there. You know, nobody's ever going to have to worry.
You mentioned 7 years as a short-term marriage. That's as the court defines it, and if so, what's considered a long-term marriage?
I think it's relative to everybody. I consider 7 years fairly short-term. I think once you get over 10, in my mind, you're dealing long-term.
Is there a magic number? Conjecture. Somewhere when Tom Cruise got divorced from Nicole Kidman, he was at 19 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think there was some California law where if he clicked into 20 years, that it was going to be a 50-50 split. I read that. I don't know if it's true. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that. I've heard urban legends like that in various places. I don't know that it's actually written into law anywhere.
Gotcha.
This guy's worth $93 billion. How much is she worth? I'm curious. What is she worth?
I didn't see any news articles about that, about what she's worth.
Because she has billions also. It's kind of like, here's a number.
Let's just go our own way.
You're not going to starve anytime soon.
Yeah, like Kanye and Kim Kardashian, they just basically said, all right, let's just take our stuff and go.
Right.
There's no one needs.
They had a pretty tight prenup.
Oh, really? Did they?
Yeah. Yeah, they had Kim. I think that was on the show that Kim has really, really, she's been married 3 times, but they both had significant assets. The question really becomes in a case where you have a prenuptial agreement was, is there any provision for the creation of marital property? So it's really easy if you draft the prenup as everything I've got is mine and everything I continue to earn and build is also mine. That's an easy prenup. But a lot of people don't want to sign a prenup like that because they're like, well, what happens if we buy a house together? Or what happens if we, start an investment together with both that we both put money into? I want half of that. So there's usually some kind of provision for creation of marital property. So that's where all the discovery is going to come in my opinion, is what is the marital property that's been created? Do they buy a house together? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they have more than one.
Because when you say buy a house together, not just sat down at the table or walked through the house and said, yeah, we love it.
Okay.
But they both signed papers. They both put money in? Or is it that they just both signed papers and he put money in? Is that the same thing?
On how the prenup was written. So you could write it as based on title. If both of our names are on it, then it's marital property. If we both put money into it, then it's marital property. If maybe he just agreed as part of the prenuptial negotiation, I will buy a house for us to live in, and that will be marital property. That could be some kind of security to her in the beginning. So it's completely a creature of contract. So it depends on what they each prefer and what they want for their marriage. So there's obviously something there. They wouldn't need all these lawyers. And they do have, the custody battle as well,
which in
California, you can bifurcate that. But it sounds like they're going to address all of that with the arbitration with a private judge.
I'm guessing with you, that's when it gets really brutal and that's what people fight over the most. And it gets ugly, the spousal, because you're trying to prove the other parent isn't fit, and it becomes just really nasty. But I got to take a break. Then I want to ask you about 401ks, houses.
Okay. Right.
Because this is what regular people deal with.
Pets.
And then lifetime spousal support.
Right.
Can you imagine that, Ante?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's cut your check. Here you go.
It's JettyGirl28 on TikTok. She's a super high-powered divorce attorney, Katie K. Leonard. And I got a lot to ask you about, so I'm going to go through this quickly.
Okay.
Let's start with this. You have a video posted, I think, from April. It's called The Scariest Person in a Divorce Case.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that person?
The lawyer?
Oh, boy. there can be some lawyers that fit into this category.
Guessier. Yeah.
I made that video because I see these people on TikTok that come on, and it may just be my algorithm, so I don't know if everybody sees these people, but they talk about, the court system is broken and it's all fraud and there's conspiracies between lawyers and judges and my evidence was rejected and, I filed a habeas petition and you listen to it. And as a layperson, I'm sure you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that this would happen. And I'm sitting here going, there's no freaking way that this happened. And so I call these people the custody crazies because they are terrifying people. I mentioned to you before that my husband is a judge, so I hear, you know, tales from his courtroom that he really only feels comfortable telling me, and I experience it in my own cases, and I feel comfortable sharing this because it's in a jurisdiction where, you know, none of my clients would be able to catch it. But I had this guy recently, and he's a perfect example of it. And I won't go into a lot of details. I don't breach privilege. But since he's gone off the deep end, he's put all of our emails online. So I feel like it's out there anyway. He came in, and he was a vet and a war veteran. He was in Iraq. And so I immediately knew, okay, we're going to be dealing with some PTSD here. And he was a firearms dealer. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird, but okay. And then he mentioned that he was like living in his car. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is a little bizarre. He's like selling firearms out of his vehicle. And he had met this woman on Tinder and they got married. And he was telling me about how she was a part of her family was part of a child pornography, child trafficking ring. And he believed that his infant daughter was being raped and just all this horrible stuff. And I'm like, this is bizarre. This guy is a nut job. But he didn't really tell me all that in the beginning. He kind of started slow with it, you know, and so he had some concerns that his wife had been unfaithful, was really in love with another woman, and that her parents had secretly adopted her. I mean, this is all stuff that he's made a website at this point, so it's all out there. And I'm like, okay, this is you know,
real?
Raising some flags. I can't imagine that it's real, but, you know,
if it is,
he has the right to figure
Netflix
that out.
It's a Netflix special, and I hate to think like that, but
it's true,
you know?
It's true.
So I had two consultations with the guy, and he kept coming in with all of this research that he'd done, and he'd gone all the way back to her high school. I mean, they were married for 4 months, and the reason that they got divorced is because she didn't want the dog to live there anymore, and so he chose the dog over her. Okay.
Well, that makes sense. So, that part.
I can see that.
I understand.
So I was like, okay, he didn't come at me with the child trafficking ring in the first consultation. So it was only after he retained me and I was like, well, you know, if you have concerns about misconduct or whatever, then do your discovery. Go figure. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody, no, you don't have the right to have your concerns investigated, but I thought it would be a pretty straightforward case because it was a 4-month marriage. There was no money and there was a baby, you know, and he just wanted to make sure it was his, et cetera. But as we start going on, he starts coming at me with this. She had an affair with her teacher and her family is part of a child trafficking ring and they adopt children and they groom them for sexual. And I'm just like, what? And so it got to the point where I was like, I didn't know what to do because I didn't know how to get out of the case without maybe him coming after me, which ultimately he did. And he eventually came after the judge. He came after the entire court system. He's filed all kinds of constitutional challenges. He's a perfect example of what I call the custody crazy. It's these people that I don't know what happens. They're not. And I don't say crazy to be derogatory. It's tongue in cheek. It's they just kind of go off the deep end. And they,
kind of is being kind.
Seriously. There's no
this person was off the deep end. And yep. You have to be, as a divorce attorney, afraid for your own safety at some
they
point.
Swan dived on
I mean,
that one.
I carry for sure. There's tons of examples just in my area.
That's where the most violence happens
lawyers.
At any court. It's a family court.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I got a roll. I have like 15 more questions for you. There's people on the phone who want to talk to you. So so we want to have you back probably next week. Ashley has a great question, too, about...
Are we going to talk about crazies? Because I could do that all day long.
Yes. Yes. Let's do it.
It's like therapy for you.
Let's do it. Thank you so much for coming on. And we're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website. It's divorce attorney Katie K. Leonard. Jetty Girl 28 on TikTok. Thank you.